Hello, welcome to Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast for people who want to keep up with the headlines. But, you know, usually each week I say, you know, this podcast will help. Will it? Is it even possible to keep up with the headlines at this point? What sort of chaos are we living in? This has been honestly one of the most chaotic weeks in politics ever in UK history. Because, let's be honest, how did it climax? I can't believe I'm saying this. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, resigned. And I know that a Prime Minister resigning isn't massive news, but Boris Johnson resigning, for some reason, feels different. I sound shocked. I am a bit shocked. I thought this man's political immunity, I'd just gotten used to it. I'd just gotten used to him surpassing the immunity of anyone, even fictional characters. You know, you watch The West Wing or House of Cards or Veep, you know, these characters can't withstand what Boris Johnson has somehow managed to matrix dodge when it comes to sustaining a political career. But actually, if you look at it on paper, you know, maybe this has been brewing for a while. Let's be honest, he just faced a vote of no confidence last month in the House of Commons, but he won it, 211 votes to 148. Of course, I covered it on this podcast. I suppose usually even facing a vote of no confidence means your time is somewhat limited, but I figured he at least was going to stay put for a bit. I figured he'd bought some time. But here we are. I told you, to be fair, not to predict anything in politics. And at least we can predict the unpredictable. I can't remember if I've introduced myself. I'm too delirious. My name's Julia Bell. I am the unhinged human being who thinks it's a good idea to try to explain this stuff to you and keep you up to date with it. And that's what I'm going to do today. Because in this episode, I want to get you completely up to scratch. There's a lot to this. I mean, on Wednesday alone, 16 ministers. 16 ministers resigned. That's a record. That is a record, not one that Boris Johnson is necessarily going to frame and put above his desk in his office, but it is a record in British parliamentary history for the number of resignations in one day. Not to mention, there's kind of mini record set. The new but now former Education Secretary, Michelle Donnellan, lasted 36 hours in the role, took the job, left. 36 hours. I mean, it's not funny, but it kind of is, because what is this chaos? You couldn't make it up. So let's look at this episode. Like, what brought it on? What led Johnson to actually resign? What brought us here? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? And more importantly as well, let's talk about what's going to happen next. You know, who is going to replace Johnson? We've already got some names that have been thrown into the ring. I'm sure more will come out even in the time scale between me recording this and me uploading this episode. I'm sure we'll hear more. And then let's, of course, you know, unpack, what does that process look like? How do Tories get the top job? How long does that time scale take? When can we expect a successor? There's so much to this. I don't want to faff around. Without further ado, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, or you've clicked follow if you're listening on Spotify. Make sure you become a patron if you want this podcast to keep going. And for God's sake, give it 5 stars, because I know that it's helpful, especially if you don't understand with this stuff. That's it. Let's get on with it. Okay, I suppose we should start with... Where do you start? There's so much. Okay, let's try and start sort of at the beginning. Let's start with the madness of yesterday. So at 12:30 on the Thursday, the 7th of July, Johnson emerges from 10 Downing Street to a podium that had been set up in front of a massive crowd of press. They'd been gathering and collecting all day. They knew this was coming. He comes out and he makes this speech to resign as the leader of the Conservative Party. In my opinion, you can see what you think. It was the speech of a man who was pushed, not of a man who jumped. Have a listen.
It is clearly now the will of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader of that party and therefore a new Prime Minister. But as we've seen at Westminster, the herd instinct is powerful. When the herd moves, it moves. And my friends in politics, no one is remotely indispensable. And I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks. Boris Johnson's resignation statement on the 7th of July. And from that clip alone, I mean, come on, you get the feeling that he's just so hacked off at the whole thing. The entire speech focused on how he was gutted to be going and how he tried to persuade his colleagues about staying. He talked, you know, briefly, although more briefly than I was expecting, about sort of the positive things he'd done. He listed a few of his quote-unquote achievements as far as his perspective dictates. And, you know, he talks about how disappointed he is not to be able to finish off the projects and the plans that he has for the country. Another thing I noticed was the lack of remorse for the misgivings that are alleged against him by members of the opposition and, of course, members of his own party, including the masses that resigned. There wasn't, for example, the word sorry. That didn't feature. There wasn't this kind of reference to, I know that lots of people don't think that they can trust me. I know that there's been issues with me being misleading. There was none of that. Because, of course, that has been the heavy theme amongst those who resigned, right? None of that. Probably the most important thing to mention, I think, is that he didn't talk about, and this is a really big deal, that he's not leaving straight away. He's not leaving straight away. He is resigned as the leader of the Conservative Party. That bit's done. But he plans to stay on as the Prime Minister until the autumn. His justification being, you know, I need to keep things ticking over until there is a successor. And there are really loud voices amongst opposition parties, but also, again, like I say, within his own party, who just don't agree with that approach. They're saying, look, you have had a record number of resignations under you. You've had to scramble to basically replace, I mean, almost your entire government. You are not in a legitimate position to lead the government or the country. So you've just got to go now. You've got to go. And so particularly sort of within the Conservative Party, for example, you've got voices who are saying, we've got a Deputy Prime Minister for a reason. Dominic Raab is the Deputy Prime Minister. That's what he's there for. If the Prime Minister becomes incapacitated, he steps up. It happened before. Do you remember Boris Johnson went to intensive care with COVID back in 2020? Dominic Raab stepped in as a caretaker. It wasn't like indefinite. It had an egg timer on it. But he stepped up, and there are voices that are saying, why can't we have that kind of thing happen again? Because you can't stay where you are in this scenario. Okay, so I want to talk about Johnson's replacement. I want to talk about how that's going to happen and who that might be and all that stuff. But first of all, let's get you up to scratch on how we got here. So what kicked off this moment and the political madness of this week, really, was, I think, the resignation of the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, and the Health Secretary, Sajid Javid. Both extremely important, really senior cabinet positions. They're household names, right? We've all heard of them before. In fact, incredibly prominently, especially Rishi Sunak. And they handed in their resignations really within minutes of each other, according to the papers. It was all in one go. And that seemed to literally set off a line of dominoes. One of those epic, you know, huge lines of dominoes that you see on Instagram that goes right through the house. The whole fucking government crumbled like a house of cards in a day. And it does feel a little bit like Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid just pushed that first and second domino lightly over and off it went. And that begs the question, you know, why now? After months and months of scandals, and after these senior figures sort of standing by him throughout what has been a really tumultuous time, why was the 5th of July the day for this to happen? And really, it comes down to Johnson's changing story around Chris Pincher, who was a Conservative MP, although now he's an independent MP following his suspension from the Conservative Party. He's the MP for the constituency of Tamworth, and he's the former Deputy Chief Whip. Deputy Chief Whip. And that job title basically means, you know, a whip role is where you're making sure that the MPs in your party, in this case the Conservative Party, are A, voting, but B, they're They're voting in line with the party's agenda. Are you on track for what our overall narrative, our overall goal is? Let's get you in line with that. So it's a big job. It's a prestigious job. And the question around it was, why did Chris Pincher get this job? Or rather, why did Boris Johnson give Chris Pincher this job? Because in essence, Pincher has been at the helm of a whole load of allegations of misconduct, right? Including sexual misconduct that trail all the way back to 2017. And then there's been fresh allegations made at the end of June this year. He denies them. So when it came to light that Pincher had these allegations against him, including for sexual misconduct, this is where the story got tangled. Number 10 initially said when it first came out, oh right, Boris Johnson was unaware, quote, unaware of any complaints against Pincher. That was the first version of the story. And so, you know, Johnson promoted him because he was unaware. He didn't know about any of this stuff. Then it came to light that Johnson had been briefed in 2019 in person about a formal complaint against Pincher. And so at that point, when that came to light, Johnson's spokesperson said, oh, yes, right, yeah, that did happen. Johnson did hear about it, but he, quote, couldn't recall this briefing. So in essence, he did at one time know about the bad stuff, the bad allegations, but he forgot. And that's why he promoted him. So that was the story, the very tangled web of stories. And so Johnson was put in a position where he had to apologise. Quote, to everybody who has been affected, badly affected, sorry, by it. That's what he said. I want to apologise to everyone who's been badly affected by it. And that happened on Tuesday, the 5th of July. And I think he'll have been thinking, oh God, another really bad scandal. Hopefully we got out of that okay. But, you know, alas for Johnson, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. This sort of changing story around Chris Pincher, and swiftly after it, Sunak, Javid, letters of resignation. In they went and off they went. And those letters, they centred, from Javid and Sunak, they centred around, like, the theme was trust and morality, ethics. So, or, well, a lack thereof, I guess. So Javid, the former health secretary, he speaks about how the vote of no confidence that happened in June, was a chance for, quote, humility, grip, and a new direction. So, you know, that moment was where I was starting to feel shaky about my loyalty to you. I was hoping that the vote of no confidence would, you know, get your, quote, humility, grip, and new direction going. But here we are. And, you know, you're clearly not changing. That was his sort of message. Then Sunak's letter of resignation. And again, think about Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson's relationship. Like, they were prime minister and chancellor throughout the pandemic. They had to work hand in hand. And of course, there have been rumours about a very fractured relationship between the two. But it's all been pretty rumoured. So this, seeing it stark black and white in writing on the page, was quite something. So Sunak's letter, again, reflects what Javid said. He talked about how loyal he had been to Johnson. What's the quote? Here it is. On those occasions where I disagreed with you privately, I have supported you publicly. It's quite something, that wording, isn't it? And then it kind of boils down to this line that he puts here, quote, we cannot continue like this. So I stood by you even when I didn't agree with what you were doing, but enough is enough. That's the sort of theme in that. In fact, Sajid Javid did a sort of resignation speech in the House of Commons. Have a little listen to that.
Effective governance inevitably requires loyalty and collective responsibility. Of course it does. And I'm instinctively a team player. And I have completely focused on governing effectively over the last year. But treading the tightrope between loyalty and integrity has become impossible in recent months. And Mr. Speaker, I will never risk losing my integrity. I also believe a team is as good as its team captain, and that a captain is as good as his or her team. So loyalty must go both ways. The events of recent months have made it increasingly difficult to be in that team. It's not fair on ministerial colleagues to go out every morning defending lines that don't stand up and don't hold up.
Yeah.
It's not fair on my parliamentary colleagues who bear the brunt of constituents' dismay in their inboxes and on their doorsteps in recent elections.
Yeah.
And it's not fair on Conservative members and voters who rightly expect better standards from the party they supported.
There you go, Javid in the House of Commons on the 6th of July. Okay, so that's the context. The epic line of dominoes that the Chris Pincher scandal seemed to set off. We know that Johnson has said he's going. We also know he wants to stay till autumn, but there's plenty of people who don't want him to. That will be a battle. We'll keep our eyes on it. Now let's explain how the Conservative Party leadership election thing will work. Let's look at that, because that's the next point of the agenda, right? You're leaving. Who's next? And it is likely, to be honest at this point, that you know exactly how Conservative Party leadership elections work, because it happens all the time. I feel like I'm constantly talking about this in my broadcasting career. This is just constant. Who's running to be the leader of the Conservative Party? Because yet again, they've indulged in a bit of good old-fashioned regicide. It's their literal favourite activity, chopping off the head of the person on the top and replacing it with some tasty new blood. They did it to David Cameron, they did it to Theresa May, and here we are, Boris Johnson off with his head. So if you know how Conservative Party leadership elections work, fair enough. It's not that distant in our memory, but I'll talk you through it anyway. So basically, any Conservative MP can put themselves forward as a candidate. It doesn't really matter like your credence or your background, as long as you have backing from 8 other MPs. So if you've got 8 other pals who back you and they want you to be leader too, and you're a Conservative Party MP, these are the criteria. So I think from that, it is possible that we'll end up with a fairly long list of people who are just gonna, you know, have a crack at it. They've got 8 pals, let's give it a go. And then from there are a sort of series of ballots which basically eliminate candidates, you know, each round eliminate more candidates until only 2 are left, 2 men or women standing. And you might remember in 2019, the last man standing was Boris Johnson against Jeremy Hunt. Oh God, it feels so vintage now to talk about that. And it did feel at the time they agreed on almost nothing. And since losing to Boris Johnson, as we know, Boris Johnson won that with a total landslide, it has been Hunt's kind of personal mission to hold Boris Johnson accountable for everything. And rightly so, right? That's kind of a good thing. You kind of want the opposition who ran against you in a leadership election within a party to say, okay, you think you can do it better. I lost to you, so I'm going to make sure that you do it better. And if not, I'll be up your arse, quite frankly, making life painful for you. And that is, to be honest, what Hunt has enjoyed plenty of time doing. For instance, he led those lessons learnt committee grillings. Do you remember those? So when there was that sort of inquiry as to how the government handled the pandemic, Dominic Cummings was grilled for like 7 hours. I did a podcast on it. Anyway, Jeremy Hunt sort of led that brigade. So leadership elections are worth keeping an eye on, and the characters that stick out won't just fade away into obscurity usually. They'll end up being somewhat relevant, whether it's to make the Prime Minister's life hell or whether it's actually that they become kind of, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer type allies. It's worth keeping an eye on who steps forward. Anyway, I digress. You get to 2 left standing, and then there is a vote that is held not just amongst Conservative MPs, it's held throughout the entire Conservative Party, which includes members of the public who are members of that party. And don't get excited. You can't just join the Tory party and vote. You have to have been a member for some time and kind of proved that you're a legit member rather than just someone who wants to have a crack at picking our next Prime Minister. So sorry, if you're not a member already, chances are you won't really be able to vote. But yeah, it doesn't just stay within MPs. It does roll out to all Conservative Party members. And the candidate with the most votes in that vote wins. Simple as. So that is sort of set to climax around the autumn time. It will be an extremely interesting time in British politics. But like I say, there are plenty of voices that are saying, why are we waiting till autumn? Let's get rid of Boris Johnson. He shouldn't be Prime Minister at all while this is happening. Let's have a caretaker step in. We'll have the leadership election and then the permanent person will step in the autumn. So that's the kind of battle. But Boris Johnson's argument is, look, there's a war in Ukraine. We're in uncertain times economically with the cost of living crisis and food shortages and so on. Not to mention Parliament is about to go into recess over the summer. So it'll be too destabilising for me to go now. And also there's the argument that David Cameron and Theresa May, who both have had, you know, gone through relatively similar experiences to this, they stayed on in Downing Street until they were both replaced. So that would be another thing that Boris Johnson could kind of lean on to say, well, that's the tradition. Why can't I do the same thing? The only thing is, you know, Cameron and May did not find themselves in the position that Johnson is in, where you, like, your whole government almost resigns in one go. Like, just, you know, the Chancellor, the Health Secretary, the Education Secretary, Northern Ireland Secretary, Welsh Secretary, Vice Chairman of the Conservative Party for Youth, Trade Envoy to South East Asia, New Zealand, Angola and Zambia, Kenya, Morocco, Conservative Party Vice Chair, Deputy Chair of the Conservative Party, to name but a few. If all these people are standing down, can you legitimately stand in as the caretaker? That will be the argument that people kind of counter Johnson with, is just because Cameron and May did it doesn't mean anything, because they certainly didn't have to replace all of those positions at one time. Let's get some kind of perspectives on this. Ed Davey, worth hearing from him, leader of the Lib Dems, he tweeted, quote, this is damning. We can always trust Ed Davey for a really damning tweet about Boris Johnson. Quote, the idea that Conservatives might make Boris Johnson caretaker for anything is ludicrous. The man's never taken care of anything in his life. Huh. Thank you, Ed Davey. Really sugarcoating it as always. And then we've got Nicola Sturgeon, First Minister of Scotland and leader for the SNP. She tweeted, quote, how much more farcical is this going to get? If Johnson can't even be trusted to resign properly, the Tories need to act to end it now. And then, of course, we've got to hear from Keir Starmer, leader of the Labour Party. He's actually gone one step above just sort of the outrage of Johnson staying on to the autumn. He's actually going a step further and saying we shouldn't allow Johnson to stay. Actually shouldn't be allowed, rather than all being cross about it. Let's have a listen to what Starmer said.
It's obvious he's unfit to be Prime Minister. That's been blindingly obvious for a very, very long time. And if they don't get rid of him, then Labour will step up in the national interest and bring a vote of no confidence, because we can't go on with this Prime Minister clinging on for months and months to come.
So that's Keir Starmer's perspective on Johnson's capacity to stay on as leader until a new successor is announced. Just to mention, one of the listeners of the podcast messaged in, James, with a really interesting question that I did want to cover, because I know that it's something that people are thinking about. James basically asked, is it possible that Johnson could kind of go back on his resignation? Could he U-turn on it? So, for example, could he stay on until autumn and claim that, oh, I'm just staying on to make sure we're stable, I'm just staying on until the new leader has been announced, but then could he refuse to leave and sort of say, actually, sorry, the country needs me now, so I'm not going anywhere? Could he actually do that? It's a great question, and it is something that I know has been speculated about. I even saw them sort of debating it on the main broadcast channels. Let's put it out there, first of all, because there's no point sugarcoating it. Boris Johnson has broken so many rules and so many kind of traditions and etiquettes that you can't put necessarily anything past him in his capacity to kind of bend how these things should go. However, I'm going to put it out there. Again, I hate predicting things. It's unlikely that that's going to happen, even for Boris Johnson, an absolute apologist for chaotically breaking every rule in the book, because he has announced that there is going to be a leadership contest. He's also said that the timeline for that is coming out next week. There are contenders that are already announcing their candidacies, so even the public will have been kind of resigned, I guess is the word of the day. They'll have been resigned to the fact that Boris Johnson is outgoing. For him to turn around on his heel would be very confusing and very off-putting for the public, and I assume he knows that. And there is this kind of rule that prime ministers are officially actually appointed by the Queen. And the only criteria that the Queen has... So basically, you get voted in because you are the head of the winning party in Parliament, right? Your party got the most seats. You're the head of that party. Well done, you. You get to be Prime Minister. And then you have to get that green light from the Queen. And technically, she can say, no, I know your party won, but I don't like you because I don't think you can, quote unquote, command the confidence of the House of Commons. I don't think you can command the House of Commons, and therefore I don't think you can lead a functioning democracy. So she kind of has that, like, I guess it's a bit of a veto. And so at this point, I think it's pretty clear that Boris Johnson cannot command the confidence of the House of Commons because he can't even really command the confidence of the cabinet that he put in place. And so there is that kind of underlying, I guess, safety blanket, that there is the sort of royal assent aspect of this, that he needs to, quote unquote, command the confidence of the House of Commons. And it's relatively undebatable, unarguable at this point that he can't. So I would say, James, great question. And I know what you're saying and I get why you're asking it. And please don't predict anything because I bet I'm going to be wrong at this point. But I actually just think it's so unlikely that he can do that. And I think he is going to have to go. The matter is more about, will it be like now or will it be in autumn? Okay, what an episode. My voice is actually sore. Hang on, I need a drink. Good Lord. If only it were wine. So with that said, it begs us the question, who will replace Johnson? Let's have a little indulgy, speculatory moment, shall we? Because already there have been individuals who have, A, publicly announced that they are going to run, and B, there's been a couple that are like, I'd like to run, I think I might, which implies that they will, but they haven't formally announced it, so to speak. So in terms of publicly stepped forward, the two to mention are Tom Tugendhat. He was the first to publicly announce his intention to run. He published an article in The Telegraph on Thursday evening, and it said, quote, I have served before in the military and now in Parliament. Now I hope to answer the call once again as Prime Minister. And then as of the last like hour and a half, it just came up on my phone very recently, Rishi Sunak, the former Chancellor, is throwing his hat in the ring. He has announced his candidacy as of the afternoon of Friday, the 8th of July. So we've got Rishi Sunak, we've got Tom Tugendhat. There are also, I mean, they're not lesser known if you're a politics geek. Maybe you won't have heard of the names before. We've got senior Tory backbencher Steve Baker, MP for Wickham. He did talk about, he was really gutted that, you know, Boris Johnson has had to go in the way that he has, but he was saying it's a good thing that he did. But he stood by him and he's sad that this all happened kind of thing. But anyway, he has said that he's considering running for the position. I remember I watched it live on BBC News. I think he was being interviewed by Hugh Edwards. And he was saying, you know, who do you think will run? And he literally was like, maybe I will. So it's not particularly official, but saying that on BBC News is quite something. So I wouldn't be massively surprised if we saw Steve Baker's name officially announced. Suella Braverman, Attorney General, she said, what was the quote? Serving as Prime Minister would be the greatest honour. That's pretty hinty, I would say. And then there's other big names like Liz Truss, Priti Patel, Jeremy Hunt, Michael Gove, Sajid Javid, Naheem Zahawi. Nothing from them per se at the time of recording, which is the evening of the Friday, 8th of July. But would any of them surprise me if they came forward? Absolutely not. They're all big names and all at some point or another have like indicated at least a form of interest, if not outright keenness on the role. So these are the names to look out for, if not the names to expect, since some of them have already come out intentionally. Of course, there's, you know, there's going to be more clarity over the coming days and weeks when the leadership contest is properly laid out. And we can talk through that if you like. Let me know if you'd like a follow-up episode where we can run through some, maybe some bios of each person that is officially in the lineup. And I can talk you through, you know, what would a world look like under this person versus this person? And what does their politics represent and all that? We can totally do that. Just message the Instagram page at Bare Naked Politics on Instagram. Or you can send me a message on social media too, at JuliaBell_X. I hope this episode was helpful. I mean, let me tell you, obviously I work a very, very busy day job and I have to sort of fit this around, but it is a pleasure and a privilege, especially at moments like this, to talk you through it, because what a moment in history. we are living in. And I know it might seem kind of commonplace now that the Tories kick off the person at the top and look to replace them. But Boris Johnson, you are going to remember Boris Johnson as the leader of the Conservative Party and the Prime Minister, especially if you're a UK citizen, I imagine, for the rest of your life, because this was, you know, what a couple of years that he was in charge. What, I mean, look at what we've all gone through. Love him or hate him, and I totally understand that there is a huge spectrum on that, you're going to remember it, right? And of course, that means you're going to remember this sort of transition period where someone takes over. So with that said, please let me know, is there someone you'd prefer? Who do you want to take over? Perhaps there's someone that sticks out to you, or perhaps you're feeling terrified about the whole thing. And then, of course, let me know your predictions. What do you think is going to happen? Is there anyone that you think's a shoo-in? I want to hear all of it. Message us at BareNakedPolitics, at Julia Bell. I want to thank, and I seriously mean a massive capital letters, underlined, bold thank you to Maddie Page for co-producing and researching this episode. You absolutely nailed it. And then please, if you want to keep this podcast going, if you want to keep, you know, lovely producers able to pitch in and help out, the best way to do that is to become a patron. The link to do so is in the episode description. It's literally the equivalent of going to like Pret or Costa Coffee and buying yourself a cup of tea. It is the equivalent. So if you find these episodes helpful, please become a patron. The link is in the episode description. And with that, take care of yourselves. Thank you for indulging in the chaos with me. It was a pleasure to walk you through it, and I'll speak to you in the next one. Goodbye.